something out there, you know,
the truth.
Something he said there, awake. I love that passage in Ephesians. Sleep or awake. How many of us here are Christians? Raise your hand. Okay, so pretty much a Christian crowd. I want to take that into my thinking and talk to you as if you're my brothers and my sisters. Okay. All right.
Let me get this right here.
Isn't that good to be able to talk to each other as brothers and sisters? Wouldn't it be better if we did it? I want us to be able to do that. If you agree with something I'm saying, say amen. Teach it, preach it, talk it, yes, whatever. I need some feedback. That encourages me. And I really ask you to try to open yourself up to God. Open yourself up to truth. Okay? Because I believe, just like Neo here, all of us have that option. For me, the matrix is God's Word. It's all around us. We're in it. But we choose whether we're going to accept it or not. Now, right now, today's not the day for that choice, that red or blue pill. You made that choice when you followed God and became baptized. What I'm talking about today is, how do you continue on in that path? How do you continue on chasing after God's Word? Because when you took that pill, you woke up. Mm-hmm. All right? And you started realizing what's going on. And you started realizing, I've been lied to my whole life. Now, Jesus, he was a man of his time. When it says, Jesus knew the Word, what's it talking about? That was the title given to me. Jesus knew the Word. What's the Word to Jesus back then? The
Old Testament.
The Old Testament. Right? That's what he used to teach when he went to synagogues. He used the Old Testament to prove God and to say, this is who I am. Who do you talk to? Mm-hmm. The Jewish people. Mm-hmm. How many Gentiles do we have in here? Raise your hand. All right, just to let you know, we're all Gentiles. All right, oh, do we have any Jewish people in here? Oh, that's what I thought. Okay, we're all Gentiles. My brethren. Hey, how's it going? And so I'm so glad that we can come to God now. Jesus didn't come to us before, but he's come to us now. So Jesus' word back then, knowing the word, was the Old Testament, and he used it flawlessly. He was a master of it. By the time he was 12, he had memorized most of it, if not all of the Old Testament. I know, yikes, right? I struggle with memorizing Psalms 23. Sometimes, okay? And so Jesus had the Old Testament memorized, and by the time he was 12, he was astonishing the teachers of the law. Why do you think he was astonishing them? Have you thought about that? They knew the law. They had it memorized too. I'll tell you my take on it, because Jesus was sincere, and he was just speaking the law. He was just using the word and believing it and doing what it says. Wouldn't it be good if we did that? Instead of trying to play the game, how do we spin this? We just read the Word and let the Word speak for itself. That's what we need in our life, and that's what we need to obey for sure. Now, when Jesus decided to... let's go down. When Jesus started to start his ministry, he sat down, asked for this scroll of Isaiah, opened it up. It's recorded here in Luke 4, 17 to 20. Can I get somebody to turn to there?
I lie in the dust. Revive me by your word. I told you my plans, and you answered. Now teach me your decrees. Help me understand the meaning of your commandments, and I will meditate on your wonderful deeds. I weep with sorrow. Encourage me by your word. Keep me from lying to myself. Give me the privilege of knowing your instructions. I have chosen to be faithful. I have determined to live by your revelations. I cling to your laws. Lord, don't let me be put to shame. I will pursue your commands, for you expand my understanding.
What passage was that?
That was Psalms 119, 25 through 32.
Okay, good one. How about Luke 4, 17 through 20? Does anybody got that?
Yes.
All right, read that.
I got it. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him.
Okay, so Jesus started his ministry, and he didn't come out with a new teaching. He didn't come with something that they've never heard before, but he opened up Isaiah. Something that they knew, something that they, I'm sure they had memorized, all of them there. This is where Jesus got his direction for his whole ministry. To give blind sight. To give freedom to the prisoners. Okay? Too many times I hear, okay, the God of Old Testament is the God of anger and war. Right? The God of New Testament is the God of love. I just feel good. Okay? I tell you right now, God of the Old Testament, God of the New Testament is one.
Amen.
It's the same God. He's the same then, today, and forever. And that gives me peace. I need that. I need a God that doesn't change. I need a God that's consistent. I need a God that's faithful. And that's what we have. And see, that's how God, Jesus, could use the Old Testament for his ministry. Someone asked him, okay, Jesus, you smart aleck, what's the most important commandment that there is? What is it? Yeah, love God with all you got. That's right there in Deuteronomy 6:5. That's where it was. Always has been. What's the second commandment? Love your neighbor as yourself. Leviticus 19:18. So we think, you know, Jesus said this, is like, oh, what insight. He's revolutionizing things. No, he's just telling them exactly what the Old Testament said. Mm-hmm. And holding them accountable to it. Mm-hmm. Uh-oh, accountability. Don't like that too much. But that's where Jesus came. Did Jesus come to just bring peace to everybody? Let's just love one another. If you have problems with somebody, keep that down. That's gonna cause problems. You know? People won't give money if they know there's problems going on. No! Jesus came to bring a sword. Okay? He came to bring a sword. Why? Why did Jesus come to bring a sword? What is the sword? The Word of God. What is the Word of God?
Truth.
Truth. Amen. What else is the Word of God?
Bible.
The Bible. God's Word. What?
It's God's breathe.
It's God breathe.
We
do what?
The sword of the Spirit.
The sword of the Spirit. What else?
For training, directing, or rebuking, training, and righteousness.
Man, all this is so good. Now let's live it. Now let's do it. Let's use the Word. Let's be the Word. Amen?
Amen.
We need that, and honestly, the world needs that. Jesus not only knew the Word, but he knew the Spirit of the Word. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 12.
Good stuff,
man. Matthew chapter 12. I tell you what, Jesus, he was the smartest guy. He was so clever. And you know what? He knew the truth. And he stood by for what the truth was, no matter what people thought of him. We need some more of that. Who's got Matthew 12? Verse 10. Can you read that verse 10? Matthew 12:10.
And a man with a shriveled hand was there, looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. They asked him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?
Okay, so there's a guy there with a shriveled hand, gnarled up. And they said, hey, is it okay to heal on the Sabbath? And this guy, can you imagine being the guy with the shriveled hand? He was the most intended person right there. He was listening to what Jesus said. I said, yeah. You know, he wanted to be healed. He didn't care what day it was. You know? Read on, a couple more verses.
He said to them, if any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath.
Man, that's so true. I have a student last semester. Just the one I just finished. He wanted to do really good in his classes and his final exams, so he made this law with himself. I'm not going to play any game on my game system during exam time in my room. Hardcore, it's cement. So he was doing exams. I guess he just really felt the need to play. So he took his gaming system, went to his fellow roommate in his room, plugged it into his monitor, and played there. Okay. Now he was true to the law that he put in his mind. But did he live to the spirit of the law? No, he screwed it up. But he rationalized it with himself. I believe if rationalization was an Olympic event, Americans, we would go every year. All right, power. And so we didn't realize the spirit of the law. Jesus knew the spirit of the law. Jesus knew God. Probably helped because he was God. But he knew God and knew what God wanted. God wanted people to be healed. He wanted people to have a good life. And he wanted us to help each other. So he said, is it right to heal on the Sabbath, Jesus? Huh? And he was like, and Jesus said, I'm so angry. He just healed him right there. He says, yeah. And you know, that you didn't have to tell that guy. You need to tell people about Jesus. Because he lived Jesus. Right? He had a normal hand. And now he had a good hand. And that was the truth. Now, truth for us, we had a screwed up life. We took the good pill, and now we have a good life. Amen. Why do we have to tell each other? Now, tell people about Jesus. Just live it. Just live it. You know why Jesus was so effective? Because he lived his life sincerely. He lived his life sincerely. Right here, I'm afraid we're like this so much because we don't know the word. Meetings, all unified right here. None of us is as dumb as all of us.
Amen.
There we are. I think when you took all the hands away, you could probably see the van keys right there. No, I want to try. And that's how we are sometimes. None of us really know God's Word. None of us know the Spirit very well. So we just come together and we're dumb together. You're as dumb as I am. Yeah. I'm not going to be convicted. I'm not going to be challenged here. But we need to be right. If you can be the salt to your campus ministry, then praise be to God. If you need other people to be the salt, you know what? You're good at the word. I'm trying. But hold us accountable to what's truth.
Yeah.
Amen.
We need that, and we should love that. We should love the truth. I love there in 2 Kings chapter 22, Josiah, he became king at a rich old age of 8. I can't imagine. He's like, I want Bob Squarepants all day long. I don't know what kind of things he said as an 8-year-old as a king. But he became king as an 8-year-old. And he wanted to, I guess, make everything new. You know, let's rebuild some things. Let's redo the interstate system, whatever. And so while they were in the temple of the God, they found the book of the law. And so the guy came to Josiah and says, we found the book of the law. And he read it. He heard it. And he was convicted. And then nothing else happened. No. He changed everything. He tore down the Asherah poles. He took down the idols. And he started proclaiming and praising God. Amen?
Amen.
We need that. We need not only be hearers of the word, we need to be doers of the word. And that's why Jesus was so impactful. He not only knew the word, but he lived the word. He lived the word. We need to be that, not just for ourselves, but for the world around us. Paul, when he was teaching the word, what was he teaching? What was word to Paul? It says Paul was teaching the word, like in Acts 18:11. What's the word?
Truth.
What else? Christ. Jesus. Whatever the truth is. Man, that's what we need, isn't it? We need truth in our life. We need people to speak the truth. And Jesus knew the truth. Can you know it's frustrating when you see somebody messing up their life and you know how to fix it? It's like, don't do that. Or do you not say anything at all? Train wreck, come over here. Get the popcorn. You know? And you're going to watch. Sometimes we do that. It's like, oh man, They're screwing their life up big time. And right here, mistakes. It could be that the purpose of your life is only to serve as a warning to others. I hope not. Okay? You know, good thing about the Old Testament, one thing I love so much about the Old Testament, I can see how many people screwed up their lives, and I can see how not to live. I don't want your life to be that way. I don't want your life to be a testimony of what not to do. Hey, we had a guy here a couple years ago. Let me tell you how he screwed up his life. That's why Jesus came. So that we could have life and have it to the fullest.
Amen.
Do you want it to the fullest? Do you thirst for God's Word? And I know all of us do. The worst thing is, we don't drink. You know, we'll wake up one day and it's like, you know, I'm going to read some. And we may read for an hour. So, man, I love that. I want to get some more of that. And then we don't do it again for a month. Have you ever had that happen to you? It's like, what's going on? I love something so much. And then I just go back and watch a whole season of 24. You know? When the true life, the true excitement, the true 24 is our life and God in it. It's so exciting, and that's how we need to live. And you know what? Something that I am so thankful for, and I...
How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word? With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I rejoice in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word.
Okay, so what I was saying was, one thing I like so much about the Word of God is that it's like a compass that helps so much. Because if I didn't have the Word of God, I may be thinking what I'm doing is right. And I find out that it's wrong. But I think it's okay because nobody's correcting me and I'm being consistent. I think I'm right. This right here, consistency. It's only a virtue if you're not a screw-up. Okay? Honestly, who cares how consistent you are if you're making wrong choices? Okay? I'm consistent. Good job, there, Tommy. I'm sorry you only got three fingers now, but keep going at it. Soon he won't have any fingers at whatever he's doing. And so... we have the Bible now. We have the New Testament to right our ship. I believe that illiterates can be Christian. I can believe you can be a Christian and not have the New Testament in your life. How is that possible? Because you have the Word of God on your heart. I believe God does this. But we have the New Testament. And now we have these teachings. We have the best words that ever have been written. And it can right our ship. It can point us the way we need to go. But it doesn't do any good if we don't do it. It doesn't do any good if we don't help one another. It doesn't do any good if we're not open to being helped. Have you ever tried to help somebody that didn't want help? Yeah. Oh my goodness, it's the most frustrating thing in life. Because you say, you need help. If you just did this, life would be so much better. I love you. You're like, why are you talking to me? Pretty much. Have you had those conversations and they're just like looking at you like, all I see is this right here. That's right. The people in Josiah's life, when he said, tear down the poles. Let's come back to God's life. By the way, this was God's people that he was king over. What do you think their reaction was? You think it was like, yeah! It's like, what are you doing? We just had the perfect balance. We had God in our life. We were able to do whatever we wanted to. You're messing things up, Josiah. Silly 8-year-old. You know? And that's the problem. We want balance in our life. Christ didn't come to bring balance. He came to bring a sword.
Yeah.
He came to give us the truth because we need the truth. We took that pill, guys. You know, if you know The Matrix, later on in that movie, there's a guy in there I said, if he would have told us the truth, I never would have taken that pill. Have you done that? Have you been there? It's like, if I would have known the truth, I wouldn't have became a Christian. Like that person right there. We need to be sincere. You know, we tell each other, it's like, Christianity, it's free. It's free. Like an infomercial. Order now, you get two souls. You know? But it's not true. This Christianity, it costs you your life.
Amen.
You lose your life, and I'm afraid that we try to sweeten up the Word of God. You know, like our product doesn't sell itself. Oh my goodness. Do we know that we have the Word of God?
Amen.
Don't we know that we're talking the truth? We're talking life. We're talking freedom for the prisoners. We don't have to sweeten anything else. And telling somebody who has a screwed up life, you're going to have to give up that life. No! You know? No, they want to give up that life. You need me on that wall. You know? That's Jesus for us. Jesus knew the Word. You think Jesus was kind of ashamed sometimes when he spoke the Word? Was maybe a little cautious. It's like, I may step on some toes. Jesus could step through steel-toed shoes. Okay? He loved stepping on toes. It was his hobby. Alright? And why was that? Why was Jesus so brazen? Why was Jesus so in your face? Because he spoke the Word of God. It wasn't his Word alone, but he spoke the Word of God. And we all need to have that confidence. We all need to have that security that we, when we go to a brother and sister in love with the Word of God, it's not our Word. We don't need to feel ashamed. We don't need to feel embarrassed. We don't need to feel sheepish because it's not about us.
Amen.
It's about God and His Word and us living truth. That's why Jesus was so confident. That's why Jesus could not be stopped, because He was with God. Do you have the Word of God in your life? Do you have the Word of God on your heart? Because I tell you the truth, if you had the Word of God in your heart, in your life, you wouldn't care what people were saying to you. Because you're living for God. Jesus died on the cross. And he kept living the Word of God. That's what we need so much. Turn with me to John chapter 1. As you turn in there, you know, I love the story of Daniel. So many cool things happen to Daniel. Man, he's like a Jewish superstar, you know? And Daniel 10, he prays, okay? And an angel finally comes to Daniel in verse 12 of Daniel 10. It says, "Do not be afraid, Daniel." Because an angel had come to him. He might have been just sore his tunic, okay? He says, "Don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them." Alright? Such a huge thing, and coming to the Word of God is coming humble and wanting to learn. We don't need to come to the Word of God as like, "Hi, God, let's see what you got. I'll try to make some kind of sense of this mess you've put together. Don't worry, I'll spin it to where it sounds good to my friends." What are we doing? We need to come like Daniel, humble. He says, "God, I'm yours. You do with me what you need to. I am yours." And at that point, an angel was coming to him. Now, it took him a little while, right? Because the king of Persia, the prince of Persia, was fighting against him to come to Daniel. Once again, our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against the evil principalities in this world. Amen? It's not that person, it's not that atheist that's really angry, because he's got some issues in his life. He needs the Word just as much as you did. And he's being attacked on all fronts. John 1:1. Let's read that. Who's got that?
"In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God."
Amen. So, in the beginning was the Word. Okay, Jesus knew the Word. The Word was in the beginning. Okay, so What's the word again?
The word is with God and is God.
Okay, the word is with God and is God. All right, let's continue on. In verse 2, He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. There, okay, now the word is a Him. Verse 14, And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we behold His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Right? The Word is Jesus Christ Himself. Because Jesus is truth. Jesus is what we need, because we need the Word of God so much. Now, back in creation, in Genesis 1, just amazing to me. You know? Excuse me. I'm a Christian. Okay. Let there be light. Whoa!
Wow.
Yeah, pretty cool, huh? Now, imagine God doing that with the whole universe, and He didn't even have a switch. Okay? God just said, let there be light, and there was. Let there be little fishies, and there were. Okay? How did God do that? How did God... tell me again, how was things created? A word was spoken. A word of the God. The one and only God. He simply spoke a word. And things came into being. Wouldn't it be so awesome to be able to harness that power in some way and bring it into our life? Jesus is the Word. Jesus is that power. That power, that Word became flesh and is in our life. If you've taken that pill, if you've been baptized and taken on Jesus and been clothed in Jesus, then you have the Word in life inside of you. Are you living it? Are you living it? Oh. Once again, it's not just us that needs it. It's the world that needs it. Now, when I said, you know, the New Testament, Christ is for the illiterate. There's a lot of people who just don't know how to read. Because they don't know life anymore. They don't know what's important anymore. Christ came to explain life. In its most basic. Love people. Hurt with the hurt. Desire the good things in life. Throw off the things that entangle you. Simple things. And I'm embarrassed to say we know all these things, but we're not living it. In our campus ministries, we have the Word of God. All of
you
us.
You are my portion, O Lord. I have promised to obey your word. I have sought your face with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. I have considered my ways. I have turned my steps to you, statutes. And I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands. But the wicked bind me with ropes. I will not forget your law. At midnight I will rise and give you thanks for your righteous law. I am a friend to all who fear you, to all who follow your precepts. So the earth is filled with your love, O Lord. Teach me your decrees.
Okay, I'm pretty frustrated. That's the third time I've been interrupted by the Word of God. What are you doing? What are you doing? You know what? And I didn't know the times that they were going to do that. But ask them to read different parts from Psalms 119. I love Psalms 119. It speaks so much about the Word of God and how we should live it. The longest psalm in all but two verses talk about the Word of God in some way. Now, they just stood up and read it. And it was true. It spoke to me. And we need to love the Word of God even when it's inconvenient. We need to listen to the Word of God when the Word of God speaks. We need to get to the point where we know the Word. The title of this class is Jesus Knew the Word. It's easy for Him to know the Word. He was the Word. I says, talk to somebody about the Word. I'm talking about Jesus. That shriveled man's hand, when it became true, he knew what to tell people. My life was messed up and Jesus healed me, made me whole. Do you, with your one-time shriveled little spirits and souls, know what to say now that you're whole? Think about Write it down. Even more novel, talk about it with other Christians. I wish we could be a people together that have spiritual conversations. I wish we could be a people together that could say, would you pray with me? Oh, what's going on? Nothing bad. I just want to pray with somebody. I wish we could be a people that just got together and we could read the Word together just for hearing it out loud. I wish we could be a people that I could come around and even if I'm bad, in a bad way, I'm hearing people read the Word of God. I'm seeing people having spiritual conversations. I'm seeing people praying, and that can encourage me. I wish we could be a people such as that. The sad thing is, we are the people that's supposed to be that. We are supposed to know the Word the way that Jesus knew the Word. And God was so serious about that, that the same Spirit that was in Jesus, He has put inside of each and every one of us. Straight out. And God takes no prisoners. Whatever's in your life, whatever's in there that shouldn't be there, He will convict to get out of it. He's not going to share you with anybody. Once again, it's a lie to say Christianity's free. It costs you everything you got. And everything you get after you become a Christian, it's going to cost that too. Okay? But once again, it pales in comparison to what we get. We get total truth. We get a Christian brother and sisterhood together that we're together in this fight. Oh, it feels so good to be around people that are striving towards the same goal. And it frustrates me to be around people that are bringing me down that call themselves Christians. Once again, can we be a people that tell somebody who's bringing us down, you're bringing us down? It's like, how can I spin this not to hurt their feelings? You're a disaster. You know, can we just not be truthful to one another? Not just for our own peace, but for their peace. They're not going to have peace unless we have swords with one another. We need to sharpen one another with the Word of God. And love and gentleness. But that sword is sharp. It's double-edged. Cuts both ways. I'm so thankful it does. If you're like me, I'm not perfect. I know, it's a shock. But I'm not perfect. I have a lot of things that still need to be cut out of my life. I have some things that get cut out, and I have to go out of my way to re-implant that back into my life. That have to be re-cut out. Got a lot of scars. But the biggest help that I have on this earth is my brothers and my sisters. But I don't trust my brothers and sisters unless they know the Word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen.
What you can do for me is know the Word.
Amen.
What I can do for you, I can know the Word. What we can do for each other, we can be the Word and live the Word. If we're truly God's people, adopted sons and daughters of Him, then we need to act like the Father. We need to take over His character traits and make them ours. And He turns up screw-ups and makes masterpieces.
Amen.
That's the kind of God we got. Our God is a creator God, and He continues to create marvelous things in each one of us. I love you. And I know I stepped on some toes today, but I did it because I love you and because God is sick and tired of us not being real.
Thank you.
All right, let's pray. Father God, we need you. I thank you so much for talking to us through your Word and that you send your Spirit to convict us of the truth that there is. Father God, forgive us for being wimps, for being pansies, dear God, for not being the men and women that you've called us to be. Help us, Father God. We sicken ourselves. Save us from ourselves, dear God. We did that when we became Christians, but it seems like we go back to the cesspool. Forgive us, Father God. We want to be clean again. We want to be consistent with you. Not consistently wrong. And that only comes from knowing the Word. That's Jesus. It's in Jesus' name we all pray as a family. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, guys. Praise God. Praise God.